Right. Good afternoon, ladies. Good morning. We're now on a very special day, the final day of Hanukkah, Zeis Hanukkah. And so what I thought I would speak about with you is how we can take Hanukkah with us into the future. Right? So how we can take it with us. So if I can just... Here, this is for you. You hold that.
No.
Right, now there's another page that some of you need. This is the diagram that we will try to understand. Did I give one to you?
Yeah.
The diagram.
I'm not sure how the
picture.
Oh, I don't know that one.
No, if you keep it, then I can just. Fine, please come and sit down. Be comfortable. Es gesund. Right, lovely. So we're trying to understand ways in which we can use Hanukkah, thinking about Hanukkah, for the future. Because the point about any Yom Tov is that it charges our battery in a particular direction, and then we're able to use that for the whole year, till the Yom Tov comes up again. So let's see what we're getting from Hanukkah. What are the different ways? And I'm perfectly happy, people, to add their own comments, because we gain from each other, from the way that you understand things and you think about them. That helps me understand them as well. Now, at this moment, the diagram is very interesting, but we're starting off. We come to the diagram in point 10. So there's 10 points on the page, and point 10 is the diagram. So in other words, we're not looking at the diagram yet. We are first of all looking at point number one. What's point number one? Would someone like to just read it out?
The few conquer the many, the power to change things one person in life.
Right. The few conquered the many. That's the miracle of Hanukkah. There are many aspects to the miracle of Hanukkah. You see, on the one hand, there was the beginning of the whole battle. So we're looking now at point number one. So on the one hand, there was the beginning of the battle. The beginning of the battle took place in a little town called Modi'in. And that's where the fight against the Yevonim, the Greeks, and the Mityavnim, the people who were becoming like the Greeks, the Jews who unfortunately were following the Greeks. See, the Hanukkah was not just an enemy people fighting against the Jews. It was Jewish people who had adopted Greek attitudes to Torah and mitzvahs. And what were Greek attitudes? They thought... The Greeks said, you know what, it's very nice to have lots of different religions, lots of different peoples. We also have a lot of different gods. The Greeks had a pantheon. The pantheon is they had a whole display of gods and lots of stories about the different gods. And they said, fine, yes, you can join this. Yes, you can be part of this as well. We'll put your God in our pantheon. We'll all be happy together. Yiddishkeit, true Judaism, says no. We're not part of a pantheon with different Greek gods. Our God is the creator of heaven and earth. Like in the book of Yonah. The book of Yonah, which we read on Yom Kippur, it says that every sailor, when there was a storm at the sea, Yonah had run away, and he'd got into a ship, and the ship was going off far away. And there was a storm. So every sailor began praying to their God. And Yonah, who knew that the storm was because of him, he went down deep in the hold of the ship. And suddenly the captain finds him and says, what are you doing here? You should be praying. You should be praying to your God. So eventually he comes out, and Yonah says, you know what? Look, the whole thing is my fault. They draw lots, and the lot falls on Yonah. He says, it's all my fault. Because I'm running away from God who created heaven and earth. You're running away from God who created heaven and earth? That's terrible. Like, they immediately saw God is on a different level. Completely different level. Different to their own local gods, as it were. There's a seat right over here, if you like. Here there's a seat. And here is... So there were the Misyavnim. So there were the people who wanted to follow the Greek way of life, and the beginning of the battle, the beginning of the fight, was a fight between Jews and Hellenists, Misyavnim, which turned into Jews versus Greeks in the town of Modi'in. And then from that came the bigger battle, a very big battle, because the Greeks got all their forces together, and that was miraculous. That was absolutely miraculous, because the Jews managed to conquer the enormous Greek forces. The Greeks, in fact, were using elephants in their army. And the Maccabees succeeded in killing the elephant, the leading elephant, and it was that was a really tremendous thing. Now this image, Rabim Biyad Ma'atim, that the many, Hashem gave the many into the hands of the few. Now, first of all, there is generally us, the Jewish people, facing all kinds of enemies in the world, unfortunately. It's not new. I mean, that's one thing when we look at the Hanukkah story. We had battles then, and we've got battles now. So, plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose. The more it changes, the more we go through history, it's always the same kind of thing happening. And indeed, we have the same kind of thing. We've got foreign forces, then we've got Jews who think, yes, we should go with the foreign forces. So it's a very, very similar patterns all the way through history. However, what Rabin Biyad Ma'atim tells us, I think the first thing, I would add a word over here, bitochen. Bitochen means trust in Hashem. Trust in Hashem. There are a number of books about health, you know, being healthy. You know, like it's a wide business, people selling, writing books about health. So I saw in a book about health, it said, try to cut down listening to the news. It's a non-Jewish book. Try to cut down listening to the news, because the news makes people feel unhealthy. The news tells people very disturbing things which they can't do anything about. You know, if there's something right next door and you're able to do something, oy, you know, our neighbor, such and such a thing has happened, ooh, well, let's do this and this. There's something to be done. But if this country is doing this or that country is doing that, we're not able to do anything for the most part. We can daven. But the biggest thing we can do is just strengthen our own Torah mitzvahs. So bitochen. Bitochen is trust in Hashem that when we need it, the few will conquer the many. So I suggest everyone who's got one of these pieces of paper, write in Bitochon. Bitochon means trust in Hashem. I'm going to tell you, bitochon, the problem with bitochon is that it only exists in traditional Hebrew, because in modern Hebrew, bitachon means something completely different. Bitachon means security, and sometimes it means insurance. Bitochon is a different word, and a different concept. Bitochon means you trust in Hashem. There's a difference between emunah and bitochon. Emunah means you have faith in Hashem, whatever happens. You know, God forbid a bad thing happens, but the person has emunah in Hashem, they say, you know what, Hashem has his reasons why he did this, so I have faith in Hashem. Very good. Bitochon is something else. Bitochon means you actually trust that Hashem is going to work things out in a happy and good way. You don't know how. You don't know how. You don't necessarily know how. You know what's going to happen. You know, if you put on the paper, on the table, you know what's happening in the world, seen today, Iran, this, that, the other. You know, so you don't know how. But you do know that Hashem is running the world, and we have bitochon, that it's going to be rabim v'yad ma'atim. The many will be in the hands of the few. That's in terms of the world scene. Now there's also the private scene. You see, there's the Greeks, and there's the Yevonim, and there's the Mityavnim, the people who are with the Greeks. Now the people who are with the Greeks are inside me. There's the Greek inside. Keu zor asheba kibachon, the foreign God who is inside you, says the apostle. So we've got a little Greek inside us, and the thing is, how are we going to deal with that Greek? And sometimes we have to know that we have the power to change things around, that we are not fixed. We're not fixed. A lot of the problems that a person has in life come from the fact that she feels that she's fixed in some way, and because she's fixed in that way, she can't change anything, and because of that, there's someone else who gets on her nerves terribly, or there's a situation which is terribly aggravating, and it causes a lot of suffering. Lo'olam yehe adam rach kekaneh. A person should always be bending like a blade of grass. Like a blade of grass bends in the wind. Yes? That's interesting. Rach kekaneh, as pliable. As pliable as a blade of grass. Not a stick, but a blade of grass which bends in the wind. And if we're able to do that, if we're able to change ourselves around so that we can do that, often in particular situations, and by being rach kekaneh, by being pliable, of course there's certain things that we have to stand our ground. And maybe that's the interesting thing about this pasuk, because a kaneh usually means something firm. Kaneh ratzutz Mitzrayim. Yes, that's a firm reed. But rach kekaneh means that it's a pliable reed. So we have to know when to be firm and when to be pliable. But given the idea that it's permitted to be pliable, being pliable means that we're able to fit in around the other people. Every woman here has a number of different people who depend on her, who focus on her in different ways. And dealing with those people in the best way, they're wonderful people, you love them, but helping them in the best way does mean sometimes a certain kind of liability, and also knowing that the few can conquer the many, that whatever is happening, one is able to change the situation inside one's own personal life as well. Okay, now let's move on to number two. Number two tells us, would someone like to read number two? Don't be shy. Yes? Yeah, number two.
Better than the flask of pure oil, each person had written them
a flask of pure oil, a deep and pure spiritual power sealed with the seal of the high priest, which means that it is truly pure.
Right, thank you. Now that's a key point within, you see, the story of Hanukkah moves on. First there was the battle in Modi'in, then there was the big battle against the Greeks, and because of that big battle we said Hallel today. Then we move more to the miracle of the oil. The first stage of the miracle of the oil is that they found a flask of pure oil. The Greeks wanted to destroy the Jewish religion. As I said, they wanted the Jews just to be, and Yiddishkeit, Judaism, just to be part of the pantheon. And so they defiled the temple. When they came into the temple, they put something which was not kosher, non-kosher animal, a pig. They put it on the altar. They offered it on the altar. They wanted to make the altar impure. Then they went through the temple and they found a room where all the oil was stored for the menorah. The Gemara doesn't tell us exactly what they did, but in some way they defiled it. They made it impure. They knew that for Jewish people, pure and impure is a very important concept, and they defiled the oil. Oil represents the thought of a person, the ideas, the mind of a person. Just the same way that you can make oil out of anything. You can take nuts, then you squash the nuts, you get a little bit of oil, so you get nut oil. Olives, you take olives, you squash the olives, and you get oil out of the olives. Virtually everything, you can make some kind of oil. And there's mineral oil, there's oil which is in the rocks. So oil is like the chokhmah, the wisdom, because everything in existence, there is a wisdom, there is something to think about it, something to say about it. So oil represents our mind. And the Greeks wanted our mind to be a Greek mind, which at that time meant an idolatrous mind. It meant a mind which was hefka, a mind which was not bound by the rules of Torah mitzvahs, which are absolute rules, not something which changes with the fashion and with the current of attitudes and opinions the way it is in society today. We have absolute rules which come from Hashem, Torah Misinai, from Har Sinai. So they defiled the oil. So now the Maccabees, the Jewish people, Baruch Hashem, they've conquered the Greeks. They come back into the temple. They're now reclaiming the temple. And they see that all the oil has been made tameh. It's all defiled. And then they found a flask of pure oil. Now that's an amazing thing. And the oil was sealed with the seal of the high priest. Because it was sealed with the seal of the high priest, they knew it hadn't been opened. Tosfos adds in the Gemara, Tosfot comments, probably this flask of oil was buried underground so as to make sure no one touched it to defile it. So there is this flask of oil, and they unearthed it, flask of oil, and there it is, it's pure. Now that flask of pure oil, when we think inside ourselves, we may have many different things going on inside our mind, inside our heart. Sometimes shtuyot, negative thoughts, different kinds of negative things going on, and we should know that we always have this flask of pure oil, Pach HaShemen Tor, which is inside us. And that flask of pure oil, that is like the Nekudat HaYadut. That's the inner point of Yadut, which is inside us. That's the inner point of Chokhmah, of wisdom, which is a wisdom from Hashem, and something very, very deeply spiritual within us. And we can reach that inside us. That is the power of Mesirat Nefesh, for example, of self-sacrifice. When we're faced with something which is very difficult, and we say, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do that. whatever happens, I'm going to do it. And you're able to summon up an extra power, an extra strength inside yourself. And then, as we see, number three, would anyone like to read this number three?
I'll read. It's miraculous power to burn for 8 days. When this power is activated, it has a miraculous strength. Being confident in one's ability to find one's inner strength and recognizing that there are no limits to what one can achieve.
Thank you. Yes. See, this Nekudat HaYadut, this inner point of Yadut which is inside us, when we find this, that is something which has no limits. We can be confident that we can always summon up that energy, that spiritual energy. And then when we do summon it up, it is miraculous. It's got the power to burn for 8 days. It's got the power to achieve miraculous things, and there are no limits to what is possible. No limits to what one can achieve. Now, there's a story about no limits which happened quite a number of years ago with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. There was a prison chaplain, a man who is the chaplain, the Jewish chaplain to the prisons in South Africa. And he was visiting the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he was visiting just before Hanukkah. And it was also, as this, as it is now this time of year, it was like the 23rd, 24th of December. It was a time when all the offices were closing and so on, and he had taken a holiday, and he'd come from South Africa to New York, and he went to visit the Rebbe, and he went into Yechidut, to Yechidus with the Rebbe. If you'd like to pass these along. Yeah, here's there's two pages. One page is a diagram and one page is a, right? Yes, there's two sets there. Right. So this man from South Africa had come along to see the Rebbe, and it was just before Hanukkah, and it was also Lahavdil. It was the 24th, that kind of date, 24th of December, a time when everything is shut. So he went into Yechidus with the Rebbe, and the Rebbe spoke to him about his work as a chaplain for the prisons. Unfortunately, sometimes there are Jews in prison, and he was his job was to try to strengthen their Yiddishkeit. So then the Rebbe said to him in Yechidus, "And what about Hanukkah? Are you able to get them to light Hanukkah lamp?" So the chaplain said, I never thought of that. I'm sorry, Rebbe, I should have done something about that. When I get back to South Africa, I'll make sure that next year they'll be able to light Hanukkah lamps. But the Rebbe said, I don't mean next year. What about this year? This year they should be lighting Hanukkah lamps. In fact, the Rebbe said, if you need to phone someone up about it, you can go into the office in 770, that's the Rebbe's room where the Rebbe would meet people. There was also an office with phones. And you can phone whoever you like in order to organize it. So the chaplain said, Rebbe, at this moment it's 4 o'clock in the morning in South Africa. The Rebbe said, yes. If you phone someone at 4 o'clock in the morning, they'll realize that it's a very important thing. So he comes out of Yechidus, and he goes to the office, and they say, yes, the Rebbe wants you to phone some people here, sit down, use the phone. And he starts thinking, what should he do? He phones up another Jewish chaplain, I think, who was also in South Africa, and he says to him, listen, there's the man who's the head of all the chaplains and all the prisons. I've got to phone him up now in the middle of the night. So he's phoned up someone whom he knows well in the middle of the night. You know, I want you to phone him and tell him that he's going to get a long distance call from America. So he phoned this very important person, and then he comes, he phones back a few minutes later, and immediately this person who's like a very high ranking man, yes, you're phoning from New York. Yeah, I've just seen a great Jewish leader. He says it's very important that the Jewish prisoners should light Hanukkah lamp. Is there any way we can get this done this year? The Hanukkah is this and this date. Is there some way they can light a Hanukkah lamp? Thank you very much for telling me. You phoned at 4 o'clock in the morning. I can see this is a very important thing. I'm going to make sure tomorrow, I'm going to make sure that this is all organized. So the next morning, and he explains exactly what has to be done and so on. So the next morning he sees the Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, I managed to achieve it. So the Rebbe said, very good. Now, I want to tell you something. In New York, there are 50 states in America. 49 of them have provided Hanukkah lamps for their prisoners, or a Hanukkah lamp lighting. But New York State hasn't. I want you to do something about that. So he said, I don't know anyone in New York. So the Rebbe said, you'll speak to Rabbi J.J. Hecht, Oliver Shalom. He has been trying to do this, and you come and you say you're a chaplain from South Africa, and in South Africa they're doing this.
Maybe in New York there are no Jewish prisoners.
There are what?
No such law.
So he contacts Rabbi Hecht, and together they work on it, and Baruch Hashem, he manages to get that in New York also, that should be achieved. And then he tells the Rebbe that that's been achieved, Baruch Hashem. And then the Rebbe says to him, I want to give a present, just to finish the story. The Rebbe said, I want to give a present to the head chaplain in South Africa. And he gave a present, certain things, something for the head chaplain's wife and something for him. And so when he went back to South Africa, he phoned up that chaplain and he said, I've got a present for you from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So this head chaplain said, I'm coming over straight away. And he came over and he said to him, if there's a man who is worrying about prisoners who need to have spiritual input and he's concerned about that, then I'm very, very happy to come over and get any present he might give to me. I value that very, very much. Now, what do we see from this story? Okay, this is a story, and school across the road,
regardless of the Rebbe, the greatness that he's concerned about Yidden.
That's a very, very beautiful statement. However, the point is, what does it mean in our lives now? It means that nothing is impossible. If something has to be done,
you
can do it. We can do it. We just have to get up and go, and we'll be able to do it. And if it's 4 o'clock in the morning, so it's four, that makes it better. We'll be able to achieve it. Nothing stands in front of a person. So that is the miraculous power of Hanukkah. You see, what we're trying to look at is how we can use Hanukkah for the days and weeks and months ahead. So this is the miraculous power that we're able to put in practice whatever happens. Now we have number four. We've reached number four. Would anyone like to read number four? Yes, just a little brief statement there.
Can I go?
Yes, please.
The power of miracles in general, not feeling trapped. Hashem, he creates the world every day and even every hour.
Right. Now Hashem created the world 5,772 years ago. And on Rosh Hashanah we celebrated that. However, this is the creation of Adam and Chava. However, in fact, Hashem recreates the world every day. Chadoshim labakarim.
Nachon.
Absolutely right. He renews every day, the whole work of creation, and even every hour. You see, each hour is kept in existence by a combination of the letters of the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So Hashem's divine name, that is the energy giving existence to the world. And each hour there is a different combination. And if you have a name with four letters, then in mathematics you learn that the way you can have how many combinations, it's 4 times 3 times 2. It's called 4 factorial. 4 times 3 is 12, times 2 is?
24.
24. So that's the 24 hours of the day. And in fact, Yud, K, Vav, K, two of the letters are Hey. Two of the letters are the same, so there's like a set of 12 and a set of 12. That relates to 12 hours of the day and the 12 hours of the night. So also the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud also relates to the night. So there's a whole idea that every hour it's a new world. And so whatever one is stuck, sometimes a person feels stuck, they feel trapped. We're not trapped. We're not trapped because Hashem is making the world all the time, and it's a fresh flow of life force, and everything is possible, and we're always free in a most beautiful way to serve Hashem. Now then we have number 5. Who would like to read number 5? Yes? Go on. Read.
Me?
Yeah?
How we celebrate Hanukkah. Adding a candle each day. The Mosif Oyech, moving forward, improving step by step, not standing still. Sometimes one has to be able to mark time, but knowing that eventually we will move forward.
Right, so the message of the Hanukkah lamp and the way we lit the Hanukkah lamp, that is going to apply all the way through the year. We have to increase. We have to improve. We have to go higher. The first day of Hanukkah we lit one candle, then the second day one candle is not enough, we have to light 2 candles, and so on all the way through. We have to do the same thing all the time, going higher and higher, reaching for more and more. Sometimes we have to mark time. Sometimes...